This is Cascadia Public Radio.
So, speaking of radio stations, the first bit we're going to hit on the geopolitics tip is from my man Clyde Lewis. Of course, we noted last week, he's blasting out on tens of thousands of watts all over the Portland metro area and beyond on KUFO-FM. Of course, you can also then get those episodes from CascadiaPublicRadio.org and ZeroPointRadio.com, streaming them out for you. Clyde Lewis, his most recent episode was about what he termed the Norwegian woodpecker, although he didn't coin that term. But essentially, what this goes into, ultimately, are the questions surrounding Haiti in particular and weather weapons in general. So we'll note from his article on groundzeromedia.org/Norwegian-woodpecker, in 1976, as the U.S. was celebrating its bicentennial year, the U.S. intelligence was monitoring radar and electromagnetic signals from the Soviet Union. What had their attention was a pulsing signal that was being sent at 3.26 and 17.54 megahertz. The pulsing signal modulated at a rate several times a second, resembling the sound of a woodpecker. It was soon traced to an enormous transmitter array near Kiev in the Ukraine. Within a year of its discovery, people in Canada, Washington State, and Oregon were complaining of all kinds of maladies. Eugene, Oregon suffered the most. People complained of pressure, headaches, anxiety, fatigue, insomnia, lack of coordination, and numbness, accompanied by a high-pitched ringing in the ears. No one had really thought of the possibility that strong electromagnetic microwave radiation could have caused these symptoms. However, residents between Eugene and Corvallis, Oregon, were being subjected to a powerful radio attack with a signal centering at 4.75 megahertz. Again, this goes into Tesla, Navy, ELF, communication systems, and of course, HAARP. Clyde Lewis, groundzeromedia.org, breaks it down, the Norwegian woodpecker, again. It's all there for you to research. What connects this, so maybe those conspiracy theory people aren't crazy. Let's get the flashback from IsraelNationalNews.com. Israel makes waves by simulating an earthquake. This goes back to August 25th, 2009, way back to then. Running drills with weather weapons. So we'll now get into the latest ugly headlines from the Haitian situation from Cryptogon.com. Children disappearing from hospitals in Haiti. We have noted there are more slaves in the world now more than ever before. There are articles about human trafficking, being able to buy a baby for $30 in Haiti. We've mentioned the warnings and accusations from activists saying, watch out for organ thieves in Haiti. So again, these things are there. The private intelligence groups and military contractors that our hijacked government does business with have been busted for human trafficking, sex slaves. DynCorp Halliburton sex slave scandal won't go away. Google that. But on down the list, a history of intervention, occupation, and resistance in Haiti. An article from Andrew Flood over on anarchism.com. But the blue helmets are opening fire and pepper spray on hungry Haitians. That's from the Daily Mail. Radio Free Haiti on the ground and in the skies. A somewhat positive note on the power of media. By way of Danger Room, the World Health Organization plans to give Haitians a controversial jab or two. More on that from theflucase.com. And a couple other notes on geopolitics. Finland to host their largest ever military exercise this coming September with their good buddies the U.S. and Germany. The last note on geopolitics by way of raw story and the French agency press, U.S. military involved in Yemen operations. They told you they were. They just needed a catastrophic catalyzing event to get you behind it. We give you Mutalab. You know, the underwear bomber, Christmas time bomber. We've got a nice update exposing the scam coming up in a little bit. Let's get the history mystery headlines. Details of the death of Dr. David Kelly, UK scientist, to be sealed for 70 years. We've got reports from Daily Mail and AllGov.com on concealing vital information. The Dr. Kelly postmortem to be kept secret for 70 years. Just another case of convenient deaths. Canada's former ambassador to Iran was a CIA spy. Big surprise there. But thanks to the Chronicle Herald.ca for exposing yet another intel op. Oliver Stone says Adolf Hitler was enabled by Western bankers. And guess what? He's right. He was. Another fascinating note from the Wall Street Journal. And again, that's what's interesting in the controlled media world. And again, that's what we're doing here. We're data mining for you. Rupert Murdoch owns the Wall Street Journal. Rupert Murdoch owns ridiculous Fox News. He owns Sky News. Across the pond. So he can tailor his message to whatever particular social political winds are blowing in whatever social political situation. By way of Washington's blog, we note an amazing must-read article by Edward J. Epstein, over on Wall Street Journal, the anthrax attacks remain unsolved. The investigation of the 2001 anthrax attacks ended, as far as the public knew, on July 29, 2008, with the death of Bruce Ivins, senior biodefense researcher at USAMARID in Fort Detrick, Maryland. Cause of death was an overdose of Tylenol. No autopsy was performed, and there was no suicide note. Less than a week after his apparent suicide, FBI declared Ivins to have been the sole perpetrator of the 2001 lone gunman anthrax attacks. The FBI's six-year investigation was the largest inquest in its history, involving 9,000 interviews, 6,000 subpoenas, and the examination of tens of thousands of photocopiers, typewriters, computers, and mailboxes. Yet, it failed to find a shred of evidence that identified the anthrax killer or even a witness to the mailings. Sort of reminds me of Bin Laden and no mention of 9/11 on his most wanted poster. They make the bust huge, and you never smell the end of their hubris. Of hooray, we made another big bust, and it's in huge fonts on all the headlines. Terror plot busted. And what spills out in the weeks and months, and unfortunately sometimes years and decades later, is that it was a fraud. But again, like Alan Dulles said, the American people don't read. On to the media and the memes. You got to subscribe to tons of feeds to get the kind of news that I put together for you here on MediaMonarchy.com. It's always good to subscribe to some of the news of the weird or, you know, unusual feeds from websites. ClickToHouston.com sometimes has a good one, and they do in this case. Alleged car thief arrested while playing Grand Theft Auto. That one's worthy of the Onion. Judge says Roman Polanski won't be sentenced in absentia. That's from the Washington Times. And again, as we've been tracking the Polanski situation, I always refer you back to the amazing interview I did last year with author Peter Lavenda on Sinister Forces and Roman Polanski and the Manson family and the occult and the media. An amazing poll. We're getting the article from The Guardian. I'm not sure who ran the poll, but Fox News is the most trusted news channel in the U.S., poll shows. And again, it shows how the pendulum swings back and forth. One party's in favor, one party's out of favor. One controlled opposition is energized and in your face and believable and active, and the other one goes to sleep. Avatar replaces Titanic in record books. seems to happen very often now. But of course, James Cameron beats his own record with another bloated tale, and no, I haven't seen it yet, and no, I probably won't, because I'm a contrarian bastard that if everybody says you gotta do something, I'm not gonna do it. The last note on the media memes from Oklahoma.watchdog.org, the new law would keep the FCC off LPFM. That's low power radio, folks. Many communities have passed laws saying, yes, we can have low power radio, we want it. I thought the airwaves were ours. Pump up the volume, indeed. That law, actually, in Oklahoma, is being forwarded by Charles Key, who's done a lot of work in exposing the official story of OKC. Couple notes on murder and mayhem. Tanker explodes on New York Highway. More on that from the Washington Times. And another William Bennett update. I made an oblique reference earlier to ex-CIA guys being randomly beaten to death while they're on a Sunday morning jog. Now, supposedly, one of the guys has pled guilty to this gang assault. So I suppose that wraps up the strange situation of ex-CIA agent William Bennett. But now we're back to the Obamasiah, the Prince of Peace Prize, the criminal cabinet, all the apostles of war. Let's run down the headlines and cap it off with a return to Russia Today. But from the top, we do have a link by way of Christian Science Monitor to the full transcript of Obama's State of the Union speech. There it all is in black and white. And again, it's not like it's any big surprise. They pretty much release it the days before so everybody can know what's going to be in it. And most of the articles are already written ahead of time. Yeah, they'll do some tweaking at the last minute, do a little teleprompter fix. But, you know, it's staged. It's scripted. Obama does criticize the unelected folks known as the Supreme Court, who sometimes appoint presidents, on their latest decision. That is, of course, quite important, and we noted it last week, I believe. That would be the one giving corporations the right to spend whatever they want in campaigns. And if you follow that to its conclusion, most corporations are multinational, so you could have foreign corporations pretty much funding and installing puppets. So Mussolini said that, you know, fascism should really be called corporatism. It's when the corporations take over the state. And we suppose that communism is when the state takes over the corporations. But you can argue pretty effectively that the end result is the same. Crooksandliars.com noting Manchurian candidates again asking the question, does SCOTUS still think it can't happen here? It can't happen here. It's not fascism when we do it. Bruised Obama's new rallying cry, jobs, not healthcare. Oh, let's see if you guys like this show. That's from The Guardian. Obama commits to climate change bill, again from The Guardian. However, returning to Christian Science Monitor, Obama and the myth of job creation. I believe we've hit that before. They don't really create jobs. They struggle to actually just keep jobs from disappearing. And a birther note. We haven't had one of these in a while, but a video by way of Raw Story, Raw Replay. Representative Hayworth talking to Tweety Matthews says Obama should come forward with the birth certificate. Hacker breaks into 49 House websites and insults Obama right around the time of the big vaunted speech. Obama gets an F for world leadership. Article from Niall Gardner over on the Telegraph. Obama strives to revive the spirit of 2009. That's from Los Angeles Times. So that's a pretty good rundown of just some of the mainline, mainstream reportage surrounding the vaunted State of the Union address that, again, remember they vowed wouldn't coincide with the, you know, the season finale premiere of Lost. But let's close out the Obamasiah updates with a bit from Gerald Salente of Trends Research on what the Obama speech really was, and that was a pep rally.
State of the Union address is drawing lots of attention, with some calling it a comeback for U.S. President Barack Obama. From the economy to the Supreme Court justice, he plowed right through all those issues that we've been talking about. Here to weigh in on Obama's speech is Gerald Salente from the Trends Research Institute. Hey there, Mr. Salente. Let's talk first about some of those things the president said last night about the economy. He admitted that he hated, and he used that word hated, bailing out the banks, but it had to be done. What's your reaction to this?
Well, why did they have to bail out the big guys? You know, what they do is on one side of his mouth, he says how much he hates it, and on the other side, the banks are laughing all the way to the bank. And what did they do today? They just reappointed the biggest banker in the world, Ben Bernanke, who made it all possible. So it's just to appease the people to make it seem like, oh, they're really getting tough on these guys. While, as I said, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
But Mr. Celente, what the president said, and it's hard to dispute this, is that if he hadn't have bailed out the big guys, more businesses would have been lost. Fewer loans would be given than they have been. What's your response to this?
Oh, a few loans are being given already. The loans aren't going out there. And let's again look who they bailed out, AIG. Nobody knew what an AIG was in September of 2008. Bear Stearns, you know, just a brokerage firm, the Merrill Lynch mob. You know, come on, it's one after another. They just keep saying this over and over again until people believe it. You know, it's the old Hitler story. You tell the lie over and over again until the lie becomes the truth. There is absolutely no evidence that if any of these financial firms failed, the world would have collapsed. What would have happened is that capitalism would have worked the way it was supposed to, and that meant that the healthy banks, the smaller banks, the commercial banks, the banks that didn't gamble would have picked up the slack.
All right, well, let's stay on this topic of money. And you were mentioning before Ben Bernanke, the Fed chair. Right now, the Senate hearing the decision on whether or not to reconfirm him for a second term is going on right now. Why do you say that this is a bad idea?
Well, he's a guy, I mean, you know, how could people be so irresponsible and they keep being put in the same positions to act more irresponsibly? And this all happened under Bernanke. Look, go back to Bernanke, 2007, November. He's telling Congress there is no recession in sight. In December, they officially say we're in a recession. He's been off on everything. He's no genius. All they keep saying is, well, you know, he's a great mind of the Great Depression. He knows all about it. You know, that's like me saying I know how to fix Model T Fords. We just can't keep printing money. This isn't genius at work. All it is pumping money into the system to keep the big banks afloat.
Again, Russia Today serving up folks from the alternative media. So we always see folks like Webster Tarpley and the aforeheard Wayne Madsen. And there we heard Gerald Celente. Last couple, Obama Scion notes. Obama administration opposes 9/11 health funding. That's from New York Daily News. And Obama will never waver from supporting Israel. That's, of course, from Press TV. But now it's on to Police State International. And the question being asked by deprogram.net, could Vancouver 2010 Olympics be the next 9/11? I can't fully go over this story, but they've been updating it and doing a lot of research, putting together the warning signs. And again, the games are taking place February 12th through the 28th. That's very soon. And there are other war games and drills going on. I don't believe we'll have time to cover the drills going on right now over top the Super Bowl site. But that's coming up next Sunday. But again, drills, military ops. Deprogram goes over missing ammonium nitrate from a local facility. The fact that that local facility got bought up by financial giants Kinder Morgan. The fear-mongering of Al-Qaeda using ammonium nitrate bombs. Afghanistan bans ammonium nitrate fertilizer. Right on cue, right before the State of the Union, Bin Laden shows up. They go on and on. And to track the agreements between the top two states in the North American Union, basically saying troops can go back and forth. So we will be watching the situation in Vancouver. The mainstream note on this from the Washington Post, Canada, U.S. beef up security for Winter Olympics games in Vancouver. And what do we see? What ties in with so much of this? We'll just go for the local reporting from NJ.com. Somerset, New Jersey man arrested with grenade launcher and weapons cache. Somerset authorities seize grenade launcher and weapons cache from Virginia man at motel. Somerset County investigators seized a cache of weapons, including grenade launcher, hundreds of rounds of ammo, from a Branchburg motel room of a Virginia man who also had maps of a U.S. military facility and an out-of-state civilian community. Lloyd Woodson, 43, whose last known address was Reston, Virginia, faces multiple offenses, including second-degree unlawful weapon possession and fourth-degree possession of prohibited weapons. The update, they're saying he has no connection, no terrorism link. But guys from Spookville, right around D.C., you know, Alexandria, Arlington, Langley, Reston. So this guy comes from there. And again, I'm sure what we'll discover is that there will be intelligence connections. U.S. police arrest heavily armed man with military map. That's from spacewar.com. But, of course, putting it into the proper context, potential false flag attack to be blamed on Muslims foiled. This from Paul Joseph Watson. Potential false flag terror attack to be blamed on Muslims has been foiled after a Navy vet. Oh, well, there we go. Busted with all those weapons I mentioned time and time again. Again, I'm sure we'll see very soon all the connections spill out, but those will be unprinted or underprinted and underreported. But on around the Police State International, you can watch a video, thanks to Raw Story, of New York City cops punching a handcuffed man in the head. Or, how about this? Let's hop down to Texas and check out the school kids that are being tracked with GPS.
Imagine your child having to carry a GPS tracking device because they have a problem staying in school. But as Raquel Duncan tells us, it sounds kind of extreme, but that may happen to some students in Port Arthur. Raquel?
Children, students who come to Justice of the Peace Tom Gillum's truancy courts may find themselves enrolled in a program which just kicked off today. It's called AIM, also known as the Attendance Improvement Management Program. Now, students enrolled in AIM will be required to keep this handheld device on them for 6 weeks. It will track them from the time they go to school in the morning to the time they check in for curfew at night. A trained mentor will also coach students over the phone. Judge Gillum hopes the program will encourage students to stay in school.
Get something behind your name, that you could stand tall, that you could teach others. Don't make the mistakes that I made. And if you do, you can turn it around and correct it before it's too late.
Tune in tonight on Fox 4 First at 9. Find out what these students will face if they don't comply with the program. Sheldra?
All right, thanks, Raquel. We'll see how that works.
Yeah, we'll see if you comply. Flight diverted to Denver's New World Airport, also known as Denver International Airport. Of course, the one with the strange murals and rumored underground military bases and strange occult evil-looking statues of blue horses outside that killed the creator of it. That's from the Washington Post. Authorities quietly reverse underwear bomber official story. This is key, because this surrounds all the TSA terror that we're seeing and all the mass murder contagion going on. Again, from Paul Joseph Watson. Authorities have quietly reversed the official story behind the Christmas Day underwear bomber attack and acknowledged that an accomplice was involved, despite weeks of denial and derision of eyewitnesses, or of eyewitness Kurt Haskell's description of a sharp-dressed man who helped Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab board Flight 253 in Amsterdam, buried in the last two paragraphs of a story about alleged female suicide bombers coming from Yemen. An ABC News report contains the following bombshell, quote, federal agents also tell ABCNews.com they are attempting to identify a man who passengers said helped Abdulmutallab change planes for Detroit when he landed in Amsterdam from Lagos, Nigeria. Authorities had initially discounted the passenger accounts, but the agents say there is a growing belief the man have played a role to make sure Abdulmutallab did not get cold feet. A handler. Intelligence connections. So speaking of that, you can read about John Poindexter over on Danger Room. Spam, Takiza, and Total Information Awareness. But that's just a sidebar to the TSA paranoia. Full body scanner, blind to bomb parts. That's from the register.co.uk, pointing out the invasion of the body scanners, the scanner scam. They don't even work. Just like they take your liquids, but they dump them all in a big bucket together. Oregon shoppers and cops freak out over a man carrying an umbrella. Everyone is a suspect. You are a terrorist until proven a civilian. The last note on Police State International by way of raw story, Bush order allowing murder of U.S. citizens abroad still in effect. Of course it is. It's all still in effect. It's only just been codified and furthered with more executive orders. But this comes from the CIA's favorite newspaper, the Washington Post. CIA authority to kill U.S. citizens abroad if strong evidence existed that an American was involved in carrying or organizing terror actions against the U.S. or U.S. interests, which, you know, that could be anything. So speaking of the war horrors, it gets even uglier. And again from Raw Story, Pentagon calls for Office of Strategic Deception. It's just completely in your face now. You can also even download that white paper they don't think you'll read. Defense Science Board 2008 Summer Study on Capability Surprise. And again, that link, you can download the nearly 8 meg PDF for you. I got it for you. Paging James Cameron, Pentagon wants 3D surveillance. Pentagon master plan, supersize my drone fleet. And what does this all lead us to? From antiwar.com, price of U.S. wars, $1 trillion and rising, and I think that's probably lowball. Former Army top brass addresses Gitmo, Obama, and more. That's from Alex Constantine. Which I should, now that we've mentioned Alex Constantine, and again, the interview I did with him last year. He has a new website collecting all of his massive archives. TheWorldIsMyCountry.org. U.S. moves missiles and troops to Russian border. That's an exclusive piece from BlacklistedNews.com. It's a slippery slope. When the trigger fingers start to get itchy, that's when you have things like Gulf of Tonkin incidents. Or that speedboat incident. You are going to explode. Pentagon backtracks after Gates admits Blackwater, or Z, is operating in Pakistan. Missile shooting ships on station in the Persian Gulf. Chemical Ali, the vaunted Saddam Hussein aide, has been executed in Iraq. More on that from the New York Times. And the interesting note from allgov.com as well as legitgov.org, U.S. to pay Taliban fighters to lay down their arms. Or is it cheaper and more effective to buy off the Taliban than to fight them? We bought them off in the first place, even if you buy the official story of 9/11 and the War of Terror. We funded and trained these guys against the Soviets. And even Brzezinski admits we were doing things in Afghanistan to draw the Soviets in the first place. So there's no limited hangout there. So, this is somewhat moot. We need to keep the drugs rolling. That's a huge part of it, you know. And the last note here, no offense meant on the War Horse headlines. We've reported this before, but here it is again. As startling and disturbing as the amounts of military suicides, this from NewsJunkiePost.com, a third of women in the U.S. military raped. Think about that. All right, we're down to about the last half hour of episode 155 of MediaMonarchy.com. As I catch my breath. And you got to know, I believe, Media Monarchy gives you more just straight-up news than any other podcast or radio show I know about. There I am, patting my own horn. Let's move to all the latest updates and lowdowns on the BioWars and EnviroHealth, CFL, WV, HIV, H1N1, and WMD. Unfortunately, the question, is it time to bring back the Civilian Conservation Corps? That's being asked by AllGov.com, harking back to the WPA and FDR, and actually putting people to work, which, again, if there's a war effort, there's some kind of motivation to help out. Now they just want you to buy slave goods at Walmart. But we've already said they're going to bring on the green shirts. We've talked about it. We've exposed it. We've looked at the groups. We've looked at calls for national service by Rahm Emanuel. And we've said time and time again, citing Soylent Green, that in a future that's been collapsed, the only jobs you'll get will be working for the state, being a corrupt snitch, and you'll be slightly better than all the useless eaters laying around on the streets. So call them Civilian Conservation Corps or Green Shirts or whatever. Let's keep moving. Naturalnews.com goes into the CFLs. That's compact fluorescent lights dumping mercury directly into landfills. Compact fluorescent light bulbs have become all the rage over the past several years, touted by many as the preferable green way to light a home, save energy, and promote environmental responsibility. While they may use less energy than traditional incandescent bulbs, CFL bulbs are filled with toxic mercury that, when disposed of, contaminates landfills and the environment. A report released in 2008 from the Maine Department of Environmental Protection, with a link to that report and I believe even some more recent reports, within there, it reveals that when a CFL bulb is broken, it can release dangerously high levels of mercury into the air. I believe also provided in that link is, of course, all the things that say what to do if you break one. It's pretty much a hazmat situation. So, speaking of a hazmat situation from the Washington Post, not the Onion, officials fear toxic ingredient in Botox could become a terrorist tool. So maybe all that Botox in CFR, UN, Stooge, Angelina Jolie, maybe that really is a terrorist tool. Seriously, though, from The Guardian, and it's always interesting to go across the pond to get news stories about my home state. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. versus Don Blankenship. The debate on mountaintop mining live before a West Virginia audience.
From coal to climate change, a high-level debate last night had Don Blankenship, CEO of Massey Energy, sparring with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., environmental activist at the University of Charleston, West Virginia. Amid sharp clashes over the future of coal mining and mountaintop removal, there was some common ground. Clean Skies' Dan Goldstein was there.
At last night's debate, there were smiles, some forced, some not. Both men came with sound bites.
These companies are liquidating the state for cash using these giant machines and 2,500 tons of ammonium nitrate explosives they detonate every year, every day. In the state of West Virginia, it's the equivalent of a Hiroshima bomb once a week.
The fact of the matter is there's hundreds of millions of dollars of payroll paid to people in this state, hundreds of millions of dollars of severance taxes, and that the state greatly benefits from the production of coal, not just people out of state.
Statistics. The coal industry brings $8 billion a year to Central Appalachia. But the cost, the health care costs, are $40 billion a year.
99% of the electricity in this state comes from mining coal. The environmental stewardship in the state of the mining is second to none in the world.
Claims and counterclaims over the biggest controversy. Mountaintop removal mining.
We're here to talk about a very destructive kind of mining that actually hurts job production in this state. A mountaintop removal mine uses about between 24 and 32% less, fewer miners to produce a ton of coal. So if we went back to underground mining, we could produce the same amount of coal, but we'd use more human beings, and more of that money would be left in the state of West Virginia.
To force the coal business out of West Virginia or surface mining would be a huge mistake for household budgets. It would be a huge mistake for the industry in this country. It would be a huge mistake for our homeland security.
Both sides pack Geary Auditorium on campus. Place where Robert Kennedy's Uncle Jack once stood during his run for the presidency, 1960. Back then, nearly 150,000 men worked the mines. Today, more efficient equipment, some say mountaintop removal, have whittled that number down to just 20,000. The crowd filled the auditorium, so they had to make room for dozens more in this gym. Here, miners from Massey had their bosses back. Kennedy didn't appear to change many minds. But Blankenship and Kennedy did find some common ground. China, they said, would take the lead in production of alternative energy, like wind turbines.
So, the interesting connections of JFK and West Virginia, notwithstanding. And also, if you caught the reference to ammonium nitrate, which we just referenced, going missing from a Bankster company near the upcoming Olympics in Vancouver. Aside from all that, we've covered RFK Jr. speaking out for West Virginia against mountaintop removal mining. I believe I mentioned to you last week Don Blankenship of Massey Energy being featured in that recent Rolling Stone issue, You Idiots, and his poll quote that got the most attention, Don Blankenship, the miner. It's a bunch of rhetoric and untruths. This industry is what made this country great. If we forget that, we're going to have to learn to speak Chinese. Further down the list of BioWars and EnviroHealth updates, House of Numbers, an AIDS HIV documentary, has opened in Portland, Oregon. I believe it had a one-week run, and it may actually be done by the time I'm telling you this right now. And it opened amid bad local press from Willamette Week as well as the Oregonian, saying the film blurs facts. Ukrainian black lung death toll is now over 1,000, and 250,000 people have been hospitalized. We went over this several months ago with the strange Ukraine situation and the swine flu mutations. This from Business Insider. The mutated version of the H1N1 swine flu is truly wrecking havoc throughout Eastern Europe, with the Ukrainian death toll now clocking in at 1,005. That going to beforeitsnews.com, and we note that that number is set to rise. Another think tank white paper, preventwmd.gov, U.S. unprepared for major bioterror attack, a commission finds. More on that from the Washington Post. And you can download and read the Prevention of WMD Proliferation and Terrorism Report Card. But the last EnviroHealth note goes to my man James Corbett and his news site, ClimateGate.tv. Information Commissioner says ClimateGate scientists broke the law. The scientific unit at the heart of the climate change email scandal broke the law by hiding data from skeptics. Researchers at the University of East Anglia breached the Freedom of Information Act by refusing to comply with requests for the data. The decision by the Information Commissioner's Office comes months after controversial emails from the university's Climate Research Unit, a global leader in its field, were released to the Internet. Flashback to November of 2009 on MediaMonarchy.com. So again, great new work from James Corbett. Again, that's ClimateGate.tv. Hopefully we're going to have time to get to some of the other related alternative media and some of my sister sites, but we've got to go over this. by way of USA Today and all around the world. And again, it's too big to ignore. Not sure if there's anything to it. It could just be another case of fake left-right shenanigans. Four charged in phone scheme at Louisiana Senator Landrieu's office. Four men accused of trying to tamper with Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu's office phones share a common experience as young ideologues writing for conservative publications.
Conservative activist James O'Keefe first stirred the political pot last September, posing as a pimp in these undercover videos of the liberal community organizing group ACORN. Now, prosecutors accuse O'Keefe and three others of targeting the New Orleans office of Louisiana Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu. Prosecutors say two of the men entered the New Orleans Federal Building dressed in jeans, tool belts, and hard hats. And as they pretended to work on the senator's phones, O'Keefe recorded the action on his cell phone. The three and a fourth man accused of helping in the planning have now all been charged with maliciously interfering with a telephone system operated and controlled by the United States of America.
It's not clear what the men were trying to do, but prosecutors are not willing to dismiss their actions as just political hijinks. If convicted, each of the four could face up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
So I've included a lot of links in here for you to read this whole circus sideshow. And we've got things all around USA Today and Newsbusters and The Telegraph and more on ACORN and some of the other guys. But their connections, again, we said that they were guys who wrote for conservative publications. But there's also, get this, O'Keefe and one of the other guys, Joseph Basil, as well as Stan Dai, D-A-I, and Robert Flanagan. Those are the four guys. So these guys have connections to once directing a program aimed at getting college students interested in the intelligence field after 9/11, being connected to the Pelican Institute, being the son of a acting U.S. attorney for Northern Louisiana. So basically, it's not yet clear whether the plan was a prank intended to be captured on camera or a more serious attempt at political espionage, as being claimed by state Dems who have dubbed it Louisiana Watergate. You can download and read the full affidavit and get more on the four charged in the phone scheme. A quick note I want to mention. Mark Burrier, an amazing illustrator and designer that I know from back east, he's got a new website called rarewords.org. As he describes it, a collaborative blog where you submit words or a phrase that become the creative starting point for drawings. So, I, of course, submitted Media Monarchy for possible illustration. And a few months later, he did it. It's awesome. I posted it up. You basically put in some words or phrases, and he'll create a drawing for it. So there's an awesome Media Monarchy illustration that basically has lots of high-rise buildings all kind of crunched together, and they all have satellites on all their corners, and they're beaming out waves. So thanks to Mark Burrier. So again, rarewords.org. And Mark Burrier, he's been featured in print magazine and a lot of great places. So we're throwing props to my friends and folks in the alternative media world. So let's mention here a little further the latest episode of The New World Next Week, my video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. The January 28th episode is up and out there. Lots of great comments. I really appreciate the views. I love promoting just a little 10-minute bite-sized video that breaks it down. We provide the links for you. We go over the Davos security head found dead the day before the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. The Pentagon wanting digital DNA to identify hackers. We may get to that in a moment. That, of course, ties in with Richard Clark and the I-9/11 and the I-Patriot Act that's waiting for some catastrophic catalyzing event. Cyber Genome Project and conferences in New York. And again, I didn't call it a cyberspace war for nothing. And the third story from foodworldorder.com, a quarter of U.S. grain crops fed to cars, not people. So again, my friends, if you subscribe to feeds.feedburner.com/Media Monarchy, put it into iTunes, you'll get the Media Monarchy podcast as well as the New World Next Week videos, iPod ready, share them, stream them, copy them, help us. So the other thing related to Corbett Report, his latest episode from last Sunday, episode 114, Newspeak is double plus ungood. The war on consciousness continues, and that's essentially what all of this is. The war on consciousness continues in the battlefield of the mind. Words are our weapons, and we're being disarmed. Fight back by equipping yourself with the info warrior's best friend. That would be a vocabulary, my friends. James Corbett's on fire. He also has a bunch of audio interviews as well, interviews with Greg Nicoletos, the aforementioned F. William Engdahl, Kevin Annett, Chris Geo, socio student Dave Darby, Neil Foster, all wide-ranging, fascinating interviews that are available. And what that ties into, the next thing we're going to mention is the latest episode of the Peace Revolution podcast, peacerevolution.org. Their second episode is up, and it's The Million Dollar Education. It's basically, I haven't even wrapped my brain around it, and I can't even kind of fully explicate it. The work that Richard Grove and Lisa Arbacek-Chesky and Jan Ervin and Paul Verge and all those guys are doing at peacerevolution.org is really about education. And they go into the works of John Taylor Gatto, and they talk about something known as the trivium and the quadrivium. It may seem to be heady topics, but again, they're fascinating, and that's why I can't even fully explain it. I've got some homework to do, because I'll make a brief mention, and I shouldn't do this because it hasn't happened yet, but myself, James Corbett, and Richard Grove of PeaceRevolution.org are going to be having a conversation tomorrow, and I believe that's going to be for inclusion on upcoming Corbett Report episode 115. Coming up in just a couple of days as I speak to you now on January 29th, the alternative to the alternative media. So that's all I'm going to say. And again, just huge thanks to not only Clyde Lewis, groundzeromedia.org, but Richard Grove, peacerevolution.org, James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, and all of you guys out there who make contact, get in touch with me on Facebook or MySpace or Twitter or YouTube, send me news links. Folks have sent me donations, books, CDs. I love it. I love sharing things with you guys. Somebody asked me about making bumper stickers the other day. If somebody wants to do that, I would love it. Just take the masthead and slap it on a bumper sticker. MediaMonarchy.com with the stars. Blam. That's all you need. I can't do it all, unfortunately. And there's a lot of other things I'd like to do, but I'm not sure the space-time continuum will allow it. So having said all that, let's take our remaining time to blast through all the latest on my two sister sites, cyberspacewar.com, but first let's run down foodworldorder.com, posted up under the headline of Food Safety News, reports, records, and even more recalls. We call this Food Safety News because basically all of these stories, all of these links come from foodsafetynews.com. I've mentioned some of the newer sites I've been really enjoying, and it's, again, things like this within the alternative media that you see, and it's not a jealousy thing, it's not a competition thing, but you see other effective work being done in the information war, and I love it. AllGov.com, RedactedNews.blogspot.com, Food Safety News. So let's run down these reports, records, and even more recalls. BPI sues to keep their ammonia beef records private. And, of course, that's a flashback to something we covered just a couple of weeks ago. BPI being Beef Products Incorporated injects your meat with ammonia. They're suing to keep their dirty records private. Mainstream media focuses on food safety, getting a little more attention. Chicken pot pies recalled. Oregon hazelnut recall makes FDA report. 38-state salmonella outbreak. Pepper suspected and has been confirmed in salmonella outbreak. Water distributors in West Virginia and Rhode Island get FDA warnings. USDA to lift 21-year ban on haggis. And lastly, Wellux made in China noodles recalled. But that's not all, folks. From naturalnews.com, food industry continues to market junk food to children. Study conducted by Children Now, California-based child advocacy group, childrennow.org, a study conducted by Children Now has been released that indicts the food industry for continuing to market unhealthy food to children. And again, as I try and do for you, if we're talking about, you know, research says or a new report released says, I do the extra legwork to give you that PDF if available, give you the link, give you the sources. So again, not making it up. The impact of industry self-regulation on the nutritional quality of foods advertised on television to children. You can download that whole PDF from childrennow.org. The last note on Food World Order is the one I said we mentioned as the third story on the latest New World next week. One quarter of U.S. grain crops fed to cars, not people. One quarter of all the maize and other grain crops grown in the U.S. now ends up as biofuel in cars rather than being used to feed people. This according to new analysis, which suggests that the biofuel revolution launched by former puppet George Bush in 2007 is impacting world food supplies. 2009 figures from the USDA shows ethanol production rising to record levels driven by farm subsidies and laws which require vehicles to use increasing amounts of biofuels. The grain grown to produce fuel in the U.S. in 2009 was enough to feed 330 million people for 1 year at average world consumption levels, thus saith Lester Brown, director of the Earth Policy Institute, a Washington think tank that conducted the analysis. So again, think tanks, and sometimes white papers written by white people, we provide the links for you. The contextual, supplemental information to do the research for yourself, earth-policy.org. You can read that report, and again, this story comes by way of The Guardian. One quarter of U.S. grain crops fed to cars, not people. We now move to cyberspacewar.com. For another story that we covered on the latest New World Next Week, of course from Danger Room, Pentagon searches for digital DNA to identify hackers. One of the trickiest problems in cybersecurity is trying to figure out who's really behind an attack. DARPA, the mad scientist wing from the Pentagon, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, you know, they created the interwebs. They're trying to fix that problem of not knowing who's behind an attack with the cyber equivalent of fingerprints or DNA. In other words, by way of the register.co.uk, any code you write, perhaps even any document you create, might one day be traceable back to you, just as your DNA could be found if at a crime scene, and just as it is used to be possible, or just as it used to be possible to identify radio operators even on encrypted channels by the distinctive fist with which they operated their Morse keys, or something like that, anyway. And wouldn't you know it, the Cyber Genome Project with all the spooks and DARPA and DNA are having a little conference this week in Virginia. From cleantechnica.com, this was moments before they released the fantastic new iPad that the world goes crazy for, another gadget. Tools without ideas. Apple files patent for solar-powered iPods. We've got the schematics, we've got the links, we've got the patent numbers, it's all there, and it's quite fascinating, and it unfortunately makes me think of some future where on the smart grid, when sometimes power isn't working well and there's rolling blackouts and things, you're going to need a solar-powered iPod. The last bit from Cyberspace War is an ugly list of headlines. DEFCON 128, real-time tracking, CIA connections, and more. Newsflash, there are defects in the e-passports that allow real-time tracking. I don't believe it's a defect. They've implanted new passports with RFID chips. They're meant to be tracked. So it's not a defect to show that they're tracking you. But again, more on that from the Register. China to U.S. shut up about so-called internet freedom. Google's China hypocrisy ignores deep CIA connections. That's, of course, from Alex Constantine. Google toolbar caught tracking users when disabled. Constantine again goes into Oracle software in the CIA. We note that 80% of federal sites miss the DNS security deadline. PayPal has frozen the WikiLeaks.org account. Computers were down at 168 California DMV offices. That would be every California DMV office. A second man admits the distributed denial-of-service attack on Scientology. Internet generation at risk of rickets. That's right. And one of the last notes, hopping over again to Spooktown, Virginia, and I believe we noted not too long ago that as all these strange sky events were happening, that they were even going to classify things, any kind of Earth-space strike event. But it's a little sky surprise. Meteorite hits doctor's office in Virginia.
A visitor from above, way above. A meteorite crashes through the ceiling of this clinic in Morton, Virginia.
Apparently my days are not up yet. I have a few more days to go.
Physician Mark Galini was supposed to be in the exam room with a patient, but there was a last-minute cancellation. Folks here say the half-pound meteorite coming through the ceiling sounded like an explosion.
It was a scary event,
yeah,
for sure.
It was magnetic. It had a charred surface to it. And it was fairly heavy.
The meteorite broke into three pieces. Now it's headed to the Smithsonian Institution.
Well, of course it's exciting. It's the first meteorite that's fallen in Virginia since 1924. And it's always nice to have a newly fallen meteorite to look at and study.
As for the clinic, it just wants to fix the roof over its head, damaged by a visitor from outer space. Lee Powell, The Associated Press.
Cyberspace war, indeed. We want to make a quick mention of another strange occurrence in the Norwegian sky. Was mysterious jellyfish in sky caused by space satellite. We'll have to save that for another time, because now we have to quickly mention some of the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. Boy, they're piling up. From the New York State Department of Transportation to the Jacksonville Police Department, Drug Enforcement Agency, Omaha World Herald, Fort Hood out of Texas. They Googled YouTube Angel Thunder. Spooktown out of Herndon. Again, .army.mil out of Beasley, Texas. Paramount Pictures, they were reading about Pentagon Seeks fleet of massive DARPA spy blimps. We had Northrop Grumman out of Bethpage, New York. We had the Army Recreation Machine out of Aberdeen Proving Ground, Maryland. They Googled Webster Tarpley, illustration of rogue networks. And lastly, from Fort Meade, the DOD Network Information Center, they were reading a couple years back under the previous puppet administration about a massive attack simulation to involve every state. And it does involve every state, my friends. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and shows, MediaMonarchy.com, The New World Next Week, CyberspaceWar.com, FoodWorldOrder.com. This has been episode 155 of MediaMonarchy.com, January 29th, 2010, and as always, imploring you, my friends, to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.